Welcome to the midweek Bible study, where we're going over the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in Matthew 5 and goes all the way to Matthew 7. Now, we went through the Beatitudes, and then we went through Jesus Christ talking about being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And then last week, we covered what Jesus Christ said, how he viewed the law and the prophets. And he gave a strong warning about anybody who would minimize the law of the prophets. Now he's going to go and start talking about, in this next section, about certain commands and how to keep them, the spirit of keeping certain laws and commandments. He starts out with murder. Now today we're going to go from Matthew 5, verse 21 to verse 22. Now in our interactive study this morning, we only got to these two verses, so I may end a little early, but we're going to get through this section about murder. Now, in Matthew 5, verse 21, Jesus Christ says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment." Verse 22, "But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hell fire." Now, in our society, no one believes they are guilty of murder unless they commit the actual act of intentionally taking the life of another human. And this is how those in the religious community of Jesus Christ's time viewed it as well. So unless you actually committed murder, you were not guilty of murder. And the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, appear not to address what leads to the emotions that would be in somebody that would cause them to react in such a violent way they would actually murder somebody, murder or kill another human being. So Jesus teaches that the intent behind the commandment, "You shall not murder," in Exodus 12:13. Jesus instructs that judgment is not only on the act of murder, but the attitudes of disrespect and contempt for another human being. And that's why he addresses. The religious leaders reduce murder down to the criminal stature that could be judged, and not what was in the heart, not what came before it. And addressing those things early on, not letting it fester and sit there until somebody in the right moment, after thinking about it, gets so angry, decides to kill another human being. Very awful, sad, horrible thing that we see today in society. All these murders occur. Well, it all started with an attitude. It all started with an attitude or an emotion towards somebody else that ultimately led to murder. And that's what Jesus Christ is talking about, stopping those things, not allowing those things to fester, not allowing those things to grow to somebody who's willing to take a life of somebody else. Horrible thing to do. So first of all, he says being angry with a brother, and he says without a cause. Now he starts to address situations arise, or acknowledges there are situations that arise where you might have a brother might in some understandable way, be angry with his brother or his sister. He might have a sister or sister. You know, he's talking about family relationships, people that you know, and really ultimately anybody, but especially in the family context and in a church, the church context, and being angry with somebody in that context. Well, let me just remind you what Paul says. He says in Ephesians 4:26, and he's ultimately quoting scripture as well, but he says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." So there's an acknowledgement that sometimes we do get angry. But Paul is reminding us, don't go to bed angry. Don't let the sun, go down on your wrath. You know, deal with it, address it, come to some point of peace. You know, don't stay angry with a brother. And that's what Jesus Christ is saying. You know, don't be angry without a cause. Don't really be angry at all with a brother. And if you are, for some reason, even for a good cause, sometimes people do things, sometimes we do things to others that gets them upset, and maybe rightfully so. But address it quickly. Do not stay angry. Do not allow that anger to stay. It causes problems. It's been shown that anger, holding anger in, not only can lead to ultimately murder, but even if it doesn't go that far, it can create a lot of stress and unhealthy things inside of us that can cause other problems. So don't stay angry. That's the point. Don't stay angry and learn to reconcile and not even get to that point is what Jesus Christ is saying. So regardless of the cause, or there is a cause for being angry, staying angry with a brother is not justified and puts you in danger of the judgment. And Jesus Christ addressed that. So if there is a cause, sometimes there is a cause. Well, how do we address that? Let's say you're angry, somebody does something. Well, how do we deal with that? Well, there's many different ways. Specifically, you can look at Matthew 18 and the process of reconciling with somebody who's sinned against you. Matthew 18 verse 15 says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you," so there's something that's been done against you and you're not happy about it. Maybe it's making you a little angry. Well, don't get angry, but learn to reconcile. Address it. Because Matthew 18 verse 15 says what the goal is. It says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone." And that by itself is a very important principle. You know, you don't get other people involved at this point in time. But it says just you and him, you and the other person. And in the best possible way, and there's many ways of doing this and many good principles of how to do this where it's where the person hears you. But he says, tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, so there's always an if he hears you, you have gained your brother. And that's the goal, gaining a brother. You don't want a lost brother. You don't want somebody, an unreconciled situation. You don't want to have someone staying with a grudge. Or you don't want to have some be the person with a grudge to reconcile. And that's what Jesus Christ is talking about. Not being angry and staying angry, or not getting to the level of being angry, but dealing with it. Next, he says, anyone who calls his brother raka, you know, raka, well, what does that mean? Well, ultimately, it means it's literally empty head, an empty head. Don't call someone an empty head, you know, but we might say the word idiot. Don't call someone an idiot. It's an expression of great contempt. Now, let me just pause here and think about each one of us, you and I, how we are sometimes, just driving along the road. And how easy it is just to say, call someone an idiot, for example, raka, maybe in the way Jesus Christ would say, raka, you just have contempt for what that person just did. I would really caution us to allow ourselves just to use that language. Be very careful, you know, maybe the person didn't do a wise move in driving, maybe he caused you some issues in driving, maybe it's another situation where someone does something, you're not happy. Well, don't blurt out idiot. In fact, try to stop that. You know, it may seem harmless, but Jesus Christ is saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Because if you are, he says you're in danger of the council. Now, this idea of a council, what does that mean? Well, really it comes from, you know, in the time of Jesus Christ, they had the Sanhedrin, which was 70 elders, Pharisees, and scribes. And these were sort of council folks, people that were religious leaders who could make decisions when things came up, the Sanhedrin. And the priests were in there. So anyway, kind of this group of people that were considered leaders, judges among the religious group were in the Sanhedrin. Pharisees and Sadducees were in this group typically. And they modeled this after what they were told or what they read in Deuteronomy. Now, whether they carried it out correctly or not, that's another whole matter. But it was based on what Moses was told, what Moses told, wrote down and described how to deal with things. Again, Moses in Deuteronomy 16, verse 18, we'll go there, was talking to a large group of people, you know, ultimately 2 or 3 million people. And you have 2 or 3 million people, things happen. Things happen, you know, and there has to be a way to resolve issues. You know, people do things and there has to be a judgment. Well, how do we resolve that? How do we resolve that? Well, he tells them in Deuteronomy 16, verse 18, he says, "You shall appoint judges and officers in all your gates. which the Lord your God gives you according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. You shall not pervert justice, you shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. You shall follow what is altogether just, that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So right here is a wonderful description of what justice should be. And that's what the Sanhedrin Council is based on. Judges, officers, people who can make good judgments. Now, in some ways, this is what our legal system was initially based on. You know, remember you have the Lady of Justice with the blindfold, meaning she doesn't look at if you're rich or poor, your status, the justice is applied equally. Well, this is really what Jesus, what is being said here by Moses. You shall not pervert justice. You should not show partiality. Now, sadly, that's not the situation today, just to make a comment. But that was the intent. And we know that someday, I'm thinking in the millennium now, with the soon coming holy days, the fall holy days picture, is we're going to have righteous judges again who don't prefer justice. And if you don't have, and if you have proper justice, there's peace. Now, that's a little bit more than what I was trying to say, but the council, he's in judgment of the council, that's what this is coming from. You know, this group of people who can make a judgment. And if you say raka, call someone empty head, you know, you begin to be in danger or of being in contempt where, you know, the council making a decision about what you're saying, what you're doing. So Jesus Christ is saying, don't even get there. Don't start calling people idiots, empty heads, rakas, whatever you want to say in modern terminology. It's just not the right way for a Christian to be. Could begin to show contempt for another human being. Now, each human being created in the image of God himself or her, himself, that's what each human being is. And if you start showing contempt for another human being, it really creates some problems. And as Jesus Christ alludes to, it leads to murder. So don't do it. Just don't do it. If you find yourself calling people names, really stop yourself and think about where is that coming from and where is it leading ultimately if you let it progress. Next, Jesus Christ says, don't call anybody a fool. A fool. Now, this word fool comes from the word moros, and you may recognize the word moron or moronic. Well, this word moros is the root word of that and where these words come from. It just really means somebody's mentally inert, dull in understanding, nonsensical, lacking a grip on reality. But it really shows someone, if you call someone a fool, it really is beyond contempt. It's a next level of like, there's raka and then there's fool. And you might say moron in current words, it's just another level of a degree of worse contempt, worse disregard towards somebody, or higher disregard, maybe is a better way of saying it. Higher disregard or higher contempt. So a more contemptuous way puts you in a more serious judgment. It says hellfire, puts you in judgment of hellfire. Now, this word hellfire comes from the word Gehenna, or is it Gehenna really, which really comes from the Gehenna Valley. And most of you would know this is more than just a grave. This word Gehenna comes from the Valley of Hinnom, which was outside Jerusalem, where they would throw all the trash and dead bodies of animals and things and despised criminals, and they were just thrown in this fire, the fires of Gehenna, and in the Valley of Hinnom. And everything this would be destroyed and it would be completely burned up. Well, this is really, really illusion or really what I was saying, the second death, lake of fire. So if you go to the level of calling someone fool, he's saying you're in judgment of going down a path of being in danger of Gehenna or hellfire or the second death. And none of us want that. So this shows you how serious Jesus Christ views this, because he knows where it leads to. And those who never change, and ultimately those who never change their view of utter contempt for others are in grave danger. And literally, I mean that grave danger, the grave, the hellfire of the Gehenna, the second death, the lake of fire. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. So very serious very serious things we should pay attention to, not to have this attitude. All right, so let me just read to you 1 John 3, verse 14. And the Apostle John, in his epistles here that he writes, kind of sums up this attitude of hate towards another brother, another individual. He says in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. And that's a key way. What did Jesus Christ say? How will you know his disciples? Well, they will love one another. But here John says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. And he who does not love his brother abides in death. So this is what we're talking about. Those who have this constant contempt, fool, raka, and ultimately, if given the opportunity, would lead to murder, if developed all the way. This is what Jesus Christ is talking about. He who does not love his brother, John says, abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So very straightforward. John and Jesus Christ are saying the same thing. John obviously heard Jesus Christ, right? He was there at the Sermon on the Mount. And John, you know, now with the Holy Spirit, decades later, is writing 1 John, and he's really just saying the same thing that he heard Jesus Christ say on the Sermon on the Mount. You know, if you hate your brother, you're guilty of murder, and you have no life abiding in you. And we're talking about eternal life. So, raka, fool, all these things, anger, these are all things towards a brother that we are not to have, and we should deal with very quickly if we see it forming. The progression is shown by Jesus Christ. It's anger, disrespect, and contempt. And when those things are start to, they fester and they stay there, then people can begin to justify doing some horrible things to other people. And that's what we see in the world. The history of the world is people didn't start out hating another group of people or another person. They began to have disrespect, anger for some reason, and then they then could justify doing horrible things to another group of people. So deal with anger before it progresses. Relationships can deteriorate. Don't let that happen. It can deteriorate in marriage. Don't let anger stay there. Don't let contempt develop. Don't let these attitudes stay. Get rid of them. Don't hold grudges. Reconcile. Forgive. Come back together. That's what we're called to do, the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we're called to do. I know it's hard sometimes, but that's what we're called to do. And not letting these attitudes ever develop and grow like seeds, you know, that grow and you water them and they grow and grow. Don't let that happen with anger, contempt, disrespect, whatever it may be, towards another person. Each human being was made in the image of God. So think of it that way. And if you think of it that way, you know, no matter who the person is, you know, ultimately they're a potential son and daughter of God. And maybe they are doing some things that aren't the best, but don't show them contempt. Even Jesus Christ, I think of Jesus Christ. You know, I think of the person who was sort of wagging their fingers. You know, he's on the cross, he's been beaten, he's been had stripes and he's near death. And they're sitting there sort of mocking him like, well, let him save himself. What a horrible thing to say to anybody, much less Jesus Christ. Somebody in the worst state, and you're sitting there mocking them kind of in a joking manner. Well, why can't he save himself now? Well, even Jesus Christ in that very moment did not respond, did he? He had some horrible things done to him, said to him, and he never responded. And he always never showed contempt. That is the model. That's the model for all of us. That's a tall order. And we fail in that many times, but we should try to strive to be like Jesus Christ in that way. And do not let contempt, disrespect, and anger develop towards anybody. And if it does, recognize it and deal with it quickly. Deal with it quickly. Ask God to help you to have a forgiving heart, help you to see the best in the other person, help you to forgive and heal. That's what we should do. And that's what Jesus Christ is doing. So Jesus illustrates not letting anger progress. And that's what he's talking about. Now, next week, and I'll stop here because that's where we stopped in the earlier Bible study. We'll go into Matthew 5, 23 and 24, where Jesus Christ talks about going to the altar. You know, you're going to worship God. In other words, for us, we're going to the holy day and we're going to give an offering and we're happy. Well, he says, don't go that way and be, if you know someone's got something against you, deal with that first. Very interesting thing Jesus Christ says here. We'll cover that next time. Until then, have a wonderful week, and we look forward to seeing you back on the Bible study next week.